Ken, let's talk a little bit about that time traveling. I guess when you look into the future, you're either remote viewing or time traveling, and maybe that's exactly what John did, huh?
My perception is that he literally left that first century and showed up in the 21st century and watched the events unfold, went back to the first century, and then as a first century man tried to explain 21st century events. That seems much more consistent with what we find through the theme of these ancient scriptures.
Let's talk a little bit, though, Ken, about those events. What do you think he saw? Because it's all, as you said in the beginning, subject to interpretation. But to me, it sounds like he did describe some worldwide calamities here.
Right. And as I had spoke about earlier, the translation is from the original text. And the New Testament, that would be the Greek over into English. But it shows to read much clearer. And again, it reads almost like a newspaper article. I confess, and I agree with you, that it has been made to look hard in the past. And I believe in the past, you know, even further than 1995, that it was harder to understand because some mm-hmm. things hadn't happened yet. But now that we are beginning to see, like the Internet, you know, we have a perfect description of the Internet right here in the book of Revelation. John sees it. He doesn't know how to describe it, so he refers to it as Babylon, but he puts mystery in front of that, refers to it as Mystery Babylon, because the mystery was it was a cyber city. And he actually gives an explanation of it in here.
What year do you think that was? Any idea that he envisioned?
Actually, Revelation was the first book he wrote. So that would have been, sometime about 70 years probably after, when he was around 70 years old. It was one of the first books he wrote, and then he wrote his Gospel of John, then he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So Revelation, the other misconception is he wrote this after it happened. He was on an island, but he says, I was on the island of Patmos. He was off the island at the time that he actually wrote this. So he had plenty of time to format this and lay this out in chronologic order. We have other time travel, by the way. We also have Enoch, who we spoke about earlier, who wrote Noah's great-grandfather. He walked with God and then was just no more. But it also says that every man is destined to die once and then the judgment. Well, he didn't die and neither did Elijah. So we have two people in the Old Testament who did not die. They simply disappeared. When they disappeared, we see a miraculously show up in the book of Revelation these two witnesses that just they come from nowhere, and they actually at one point are killed, and then their bodies lie in the street, and the whole world is able to look upon those. And that is done at the Wailing Wall, and we also know now there is a 24-hour webcam on that Wailing Wall. So
what's
we are technologically prepared to be able to fulfill that particular prophecy now. But to them, it's just the next day. They disappeared. You know, we're sitting around, we're waiting thousands of years. But to them, they stepped into this. To them, they just showed up in the 21st century the next day. Another hint that this was legitimate time travel was because Jesus had made the comment. He said to his disciples, what is it to you if I decide that I want one of you to stay alive and see my return? And then some of them thought that, well, that meant that one of them was going to live, you know, forever. But the reality, it was John he was speaking of, and John did not die before he saw the second coming. He just simply was time-traveled to that point and then brought back again.
You know, why do you think, let's go back to the fallen angels again for a moment,
okay,
because they seem to have tried their darndest to screw things up on this planet.
Doing a good job.
Why do you think they hated mankind so much?
Because we were created above them. That's one of the things that we have to realize.
A little jealousy here?
Much. A lot of jealousy. For one thing, Lucifer, of course he's not referred to that anymore, but at the time that he had his position in heaven, before he messed it up, he decided he wanted to be like God. It actually makes a comment, matter of fact, in Ezekiel chapter 28, it says, "So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the the fiery stones. Now, George, let me ask you a question. When you look into the sky, we had a picture that was sent back from one of the rovers on Mars, and it had a picture of Earth, and we were simply just a star.
Mm-hmm.
But the fiery stones, that word in Hebrew, the stones, is actually eben, which means a built stone. But we have other references that I could go into and talk about. And it would appear that he had reign or was able to move among the stars or the stones of fire, as it appears. It also, Hansen, if I could share with you, let me give you a specific here. When they translated this Bible in the Old Testament the first time in the King James Version, I know that my name is Ken. My wife bought me a bookmarker, and on the bookmarker it had what my name meant, which was truthful one. So if you were coming along in another language and you wanted to translate my name, there's two levels. You could go to the Ken and just put that in there, or you could take that one step further and just put in truthful one.
Right.
Either way. Well, they ran into the same thing. They had a word called Rahab, but it wasn't Rahab the harlot, and there was never any physical city of Rahab. But it was a proper noun. It was a capitalized letter. The King James, it made no sense to them, so they just simply translated it one step further and used pride. When the New International Version translators came along, they said, hey, let's just translate this the way that it says it. And once they do this, in several different places, we have, and I'll just read you one of them, Job 26. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. It was around 2000 B.C. when this book was written. And he makes the comment, says, the pillars of the heavens quake. This is way before what we see in verse 2 of the Bible, which is the recreation. This could have been a trillion years before. The pillars of the heavens quake, aghast at his rebuke. By his power he churned up the sea. By his wisdom he cut Rahab to pieces. By his breath the skies became fair. His hand pierced the gliding serpent.
All right, what does that mean to you?
We have a few references to a place called Rahab that God literally blew to bits. And the fascinating thing about this is the asteroid belt actually has its own orbit between Mars and Jupiter, and would appear that one time a planet was there.